You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Tanaz Farsi. She's talking to me from Eugene, Oregon. Tanaz, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Tanaz, tell me a little bit about what you're working on now. I imagine it's more than one thing, so what's on your in your studio practice
yeah.
at the moment? And if there's things outside it, like writing or related, feel free to tell me.
Yeah, I just finished my term. I teach at the University of Oregon, so this is a really great first day of break for me. So it feels really exciting to be back in my studio. And right now I'm preparing for an upcoming exhibition at the Schneider Museum of Art in Ashland, Oregon. And the theme of the exhibit is on migration. And so this is kind of an interesting, I really like the idea of having a theme to think through in making work at times. And I generally don't make work that's personal about my personal life at all, obviously. And it seems like this idea of migration is a place where certain kind of personal experiences could be brought into work. And so what I'm thinking about is I have some images of my grandfather's Oran, where he has inscribed the name of our family members' births. And so, you know, each inscription starts out with, to so-and-so was born on such a day, and may they be kept safe. And, you know, it's just like a little blessing that accompanies each name. And I just really became allured by this object because it's pretty well worn. There are inscriptions of names of my family members that are previous to that date the Quran maybe back to his father, my grandfather's father. And so I'm kind of interested in taking the images of the pages where the inscriptions occur and turn them into a weaving for this exhibition. So one of the works that deals with this idea of migration would be to transcribe this text into a weaving. And this is a book that I don't have access to. It lives in Tehran at my aunt's apartment, right? So it's like an object that in some way is lost to me that I am recreating. I really like the idea of turning it into cloth because it's the cloth can be an heirloom and it's easily something that can be easily passed through generations, but it also shows signs of wear and tear. It's not a forever object. And one of the things that was so alluring about looking at the images of the object was the wear that obviously someone had to kind of flip through the pages and read the cover is completely kind of dismantled. The leather binding is dismantled. So there's a lot of history that's kind of embedded that I was intrigued by and trying to think about ways of translating the haptic qualities of that object into another haptic object, which a cloth, you know, signifies.
Tell me a little bit more about the content and all that, because we're talking about this book and all this text and your family, and we're talking about Iran and Tehran. How will it, and I understand how that fits into the theme of the show, but as the show, as your work develops, will people be able to read these texts? Will they be translated? What will the viewer
see? You know, I don't those that idea of transition. So first of all, the book is the holy book. It's the Quran. So it's his personal holy book. That I was talking to my mom about this, like as if, you know, she thought at first that it was probably the holy book that accompanied my grandmother at her wedding, and then we looked at some of the inscriptions and it dates it back further than the time of their marriage, so it's we kind of have traced it back to my grandfather's father,
so your grandfather's father, right? That's going really far back. That's really cool. In terms of translation, because that is also like a Western kind of tradition where you have, or I think it used to be, where there's a kind of a Bible in the family. I mean, And it's inscribed and used the different events and sort of traces the family tree.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, but how this will it be translated? What will the viewer see at the exhibit?
Right.
And I know it's not done yet. You're weaving, but will that will they actually be able to read it or understand something of it?
I mean,
writing of the text that you're using, or because obviously people aren't reading the Quran.
Right. No, this is just the front and it's the front and back of the cover, and then the interior page where the inscriptions lie. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good question. This idea of translation. Part of me has never really used the Farsi language in previous instances. I haven't really used the Farsi language in my work because I do think about that problem of reception, of who can or can't read the work and therefore understand certain associative qualities about it. And then part of me kind of thinks about that, how in some ways not translating takes up a different position. And maybe that position is that other ways of existing can happen in this country, particularly because I think this in American culture, there's a lot of erasure that happens around cultural identity, and so that that all of a sudden a different language becomes exotic, or it becomes something that's othered, rather than as ways of just existing in the world that has been kind of displaced or dislocated. So yeah, I think that's one of my questions about the work right now. Does it need to be translated? And will there just be a text that's written that accompanies the piece as a way of kind of describing some ideas around it? And another part of me wants to kind of translate it, but it doesn't seem like the words are so much what's important for me. This idea of migration, as far as the idea or the word migration, is also problematic in some ways in relationship to what I'm kind of discussing, because it insinuates that there is a choice in movement, and I do think with a lot of Iranian people in other countries that post-1979 revolution, there wasn't necessarily a choice, that it was a necessity to leave because of the politics of the country, right? And so the word migration inherently doesn't cover this experience necessarily. So going back to your kind of questions around translations, it's a difficult question, because it seems like there's something interesting about letting otherness speak, loudly in public spaces, that other ways of thinking and being in languages can commingle and maintain their own identity, and that maybe some ways of analysis or interpretation can occur through the material qualities and installation opportunities that the objects will provide.
That is interesting, and I'm glad we discussed it, because it is kind of curious how it could go either way, translated or not, and still work, of course, quite effectively. So I'd like to talk about one other installation, or is there another project that you'd want to discuss that's on your plate right now or coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. So with those pieces, I'm also thinking about two photographs that I've been working on, and one is an image of rugs and rugs that have been bound, that are in the kind of when rugs are being transported, they are folded up and kind of wrapped up, and so I've positioned a lot of rugs in various stacks, and that will be photographed. And then there will be another photograph of a woman that is wrapped in a rug. And I kind of like the oppositional kind of qualities of these, the last project that I was telling you about, and these photographic images, in that, in a way, this kind of personal object is counterposed by a material object that moves through borders in a really much easier way than people, right? Because of a luxury good and it has the ability to cross borders in a very different way than people. So I think there's something interesting about the difference of these two objects and how they could pose a dialogue. And a lot of my work kind of tries to do that rather than, thinking about tying up ideas. I'm interested in kind of loosening them and maybe creating polemics around the topic, opposing different ways of viewing a particular situation. So besides that, I'm also working on this text by Narges Mohammadi, who was a reformist journalist in Iran, and she has been imprisoned for quite a bit of time. I think 2016 was the most recent round of arrests and her prison stay. And the letter is a part of her short trip home, and she kind of it's describes coming into her house after being in prison and seeing her kids' shoes and toys and kind of realizing all the time that she has lost in prison. And so there are these four sentences where she talks about tyranny, and I'm working on some pieces that some texts that actually kind of transcribe those four sentences that around the fact that tyranny stops life, I think, is one of them. And the other one is, I haven't quite fully translated this. I was actually working with this on this with my mom a few days ago, but we just kind of broke it down, but it doesn't kind of sound good right now. But the others are tyranny creates distance, and coming together and being together becomes impossible. Tyranny burns your body and hurts your spirit. You can see it on the body, but not the spirit. So there's a lot of different ways she's saying the same words, and in Farsi it's so poetic, and in English it sounds so cut and dry. So it's an interesting challenge to think about translating these words. How do you kind of think about emotion and depth to language and in relation to translation? And that's not something I have done before, and I find that to be an interesting challenge.
So what will happen with that project? Is that a book or an installation or both?
As of right now, I'm seeing them as these wall pieces. I just started to press these cut out the text with on a laser cutter, like my handwriting that has then been put into an Illustrator file, and then that goes and is later laser cut, and then I run that through the printing press on steel, and then that steel becomes somewhat distorted, and I really like that kind of inscription that happens on the steel, and the steel becomes the movement in the steel. So that's going to be as these steel panels that will probably be on the wall or leaning against the wall.
So those are very large works. So that very, very heavy steel panel sounds to me like sounds huge.
Sorry about that. I'm not using steel. Take that back. I'm using aluminum panels because of the weight and because of their ability to actually be pressed fairly easily. Yeah, my work is large, but generally the largeness of the work comes through line rather than volume. So I don't think of it as necessarily very heavy, but I like the idea that scale makes the work awkward. So I think when I started making work, I came to art from a ceramics background, and I made functional ware, and so there. When I started to think about how ideas could be located in works of art, I easily gravitated spatially to the field of sculpture, I guess. But I never really think about my work as sculptural works in the sense that they don't. For me, they're not so much related to objects, the history of objects in the field of sculpture. I really love the idea that there's an openness to form, that things fall apart, that things aren't kind of wrapped up aesthetically within a form, that there's a sense of precariousness that exists. Of course, all of these things that we're talking about are ways contemporary sculptors think and talk through their work, but I do think of it as more of a kind of relationship towards installation, even though it's not an all-encompassing space generally. That's not necessarily what I do in my practice, but its lineage is more towards conceptual art and installation.
So because of that lineage, and to step back a little bit, I mean, people, listeners can look through your website, past projects, of course. The work, you know, is, as we're discussing right now, is message-oriented. It seems activist as well as being a conceptual approach. How does the work, how's the work funded? It doesn't feel to me like this is built for the marketplace so much. So I'm always curious about funding for something like that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, I'm an academic. I teach, and so therefore, my life is supported, I guess, in some ways through that. And my research is part of my teaching. So there's that. And then I operate a lot on grants, and when I'm involved in shows, people or institutions pay for portions of the work or give an artist honorarium. So through that, I'm able to fund my work. I don't know, was it like 4 years ago that I received a Haley Ford Fellowship in Oregon. It's a really great funding source for artists, but it's a $25,000 grant. And that was a really nice way of getting works that were stalled into production. And then just last year, I was given a Bonnie Bronson fellowship, and that is what's kind of supporting this work that I'm making. So I write grants, and yeah, that funds the work.
It sounds like grants have been very supportive for your work and your career, and I'd say that's instrumental, right, in doing the kind of work that you're doing. Because grants and institutional support, as you were talking about, is critical for this kind of work getting out, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I've been it's been really nice to see the work supported, because it that kind of support allows other work to be created.
Thank you. So let me ask one more question. What is it that you're reading at the moment? I'm always curious what everyone's reading.
Yeah, what am I reading right now? I just finished reading the novel Exit West, at Mohsen Hamid, and it's a really interesting novel about a kind of refugee crisis, where a couple falls in love and you never kind of get a sense of what the country is, and it's somewhere in the Middle East, but you don't kind of know the exact country. And so this couple comes together during war, and the war kind of somehow brings them closer together, and they get married, or actually they don't ever get married, but they start living together, and it's an interesting narration about movement. You know, it's a kind of magical realist around such a really intense and prevalent and contemporary subject, which I found really interesting. So how the refugees travel from place to place around the world is through these doors. These doors open up and they kind of wake up on the other side of the world, and they just keep switching spaces. So it seems like they end up in Greece first, then they're in London, then they move to San Francisco. So that through all these doors, you never understand the way one travels from one place to the other. They just open up the door and get there, which is really kind of an interesting approach to that. I don't know. I could imagine, of course, like the criticism around that too, but I found it to be an interesting narrative device. And then also, as the chapters continue their relationship in these new countries and the eventual falling apart of their relationship, they're interspersed with events that are happening simultaneously at different parts of the world at the same time that these events are happening to them. So that kind of distorted narration is also some of the, in some way, the way that I think about my work, which I found really interesting in this novel. Also, I've been reading the Nari Ward catalog, Sunsplashed, and I think especially the Erica Moya James, I believe her name is, that particular essay that is titled Sunsplash. And I just find the way she kind of links his work to Edward Glissant and ideas of creolization really interesting. Because I've been, you know, that's been one of the through lines towards how I think about the relationship of my objects, text, photograph, images. The way I think about installation is the idea of how difference can occur rather than a singularity. And the way kind of Edward Glissant frames it reads similarly to me as to, you know, ideas of Edward Said and contrapuntal reading, like this idea of complicating a text through biography, history, and just like there's no singular point from which we can interpret a situation. And yeah, so I think that is kind of an interesting artist catalog and of course, incredible work. And then also just recently I picked up, Reclaiming Artist Research. It's edited by Lucy Cotter, and I just came across this. She currently, I guess, lives in Portland, but she has written a book on what artistic research is or could be, and that's really exciting. I've just started the first kind of the introduction essay, and then she then talks to artists about their ideas around research and what that means in the field of art, and what does it mean not to always privilege linguistic models of research, and how not knowing an art is a central component to the way research should be categorized rather than always moving towards a knowable end. Mm. So those are a few things that are on my reading list right now.
Well, thank you, Tanaz. This sounds really interesting, and thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.